Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram, Hashtag Kangaroos podcast, TikTok, Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I have Mark and Frank back on the show. I wanted to get their best 23 for 2024 version 1. We talked a lot about individual players and where they might play. Talked about the backline, midfield and forwards. Obviously talked a little bit about Tarryn Thomas and what's going on there. It doesn't look promising at the moment. But hopefully, fingers crossed, that it all works out for the best. But it isn't looking good at the moment, to be honest with you. So we talked a little bit about that. I wanted to get their thoughts on a Cameron Zerha interview the other day as well. So I'm not going to waste any more of your valuable time. Let's bring on Mark and Frank to talk about their best 23 for 2024.
So tonight, I welcome back to the show Frank and Mark, and I want to get your thoughts on your best 23 for 2024. I've had a few people on and got their thoughts, so it'll be interesting to get your thoughts too, boys. But we do have a little bit of news, and Tarryn Thomas, I guess, is the headline at the moment, and a lot of rumours swirling around that he looks like he might be getting a lengthy suspension, and it doesn't look good for him or the club, does it, Mark, at this stage?
No, my understanding is he is going to get a lengthy suspension, but we'll have to wait and see if that's correct or not. And the fact that the Herald Sun have alluded to it doesn't bode well either. So the reality is that I've got no idea what he was accused of and what evidence the AFL's got. But I assume if they are going to suspend him, they wouldn't be silly enough to be doing that without a fair bit of evidence, because there's every chance if there wasn't, that it would land in court. So also interesting that they're not, from what the Herald Sun's suggesting, from their detail, that they're not looking at a deregistering. It's just going to be a suspension. So any hard decisions would be left to the club. And then they've got to weigh up, the reality of what happens at the end of the season. Because if they terminated his contract, then clearly they're not going to get anything in return. So they've got to, and then on the other side of that, they've got to weigh up how much of a distraction this can be, how much support they want to give to him, regardless of the footy side of it. And also their frustration, because it wasn't like he wasn't warned last year that, he had to basically grow up and not allow something like this to get back into this situation again. So, but I mean, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, what exactly he's been accused of or what they've deemed that he's done. But it's disappointing. But I think the club's moving forward really well at the moment. They just can't afford to have this bog them down after everything they went through last year.
Yeah, and I guess, Frank, that's the main issue. It really, we went through a lot this time last year. We're going through the Clarkson thing, and then the Tarryn Thomas thing came into play. I mean, whatever happens, we want this settled fairly quickly and before the season starts, don't we, Frank?
Look, the problem is, I think we all said it last year, he's one social media post away from, being back in the headlines for the wrong reasons. I just think he's a guy that, I've said it a few times, I don't invest emotionally in him being there. I don't count on him being there. That's how I looked at it last year. Look, he was terrific in some games, but I was pretty certain that this day was going to come again. And it's here, and it doesn't look good for him, and I don't see what his position is going to be long-term. So I think we move on without him. If somehow the light bulb goes off and he turns himself around, then you just go, well, we didn't expect that, but I basically put a line through him. If not for this year, certainly for next year.
Yeah, I mean, he's out of contract at the end of the year. And if he does get a lengthy suspension, Mark, then, I mean, you pretty much said his future at the club is in serious jeopardy, isn't it?
Yeah, without understanding, again, I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately, it sounds like the club got caught unawares by this. So that will make them angry anyway. Again, particularly if it's clear cut, what he's done is a complete breach of everything he was supposed to have learnt not to do last year. I just don't know any detail at all about any of that. But if that's the case, I think they're going to have to weigh up whether they can, if with such a young group, whether he's the right sort of person to have around the club, given they've tried so hard to get him to commit to doing the right things. And this is not a recent thing. This just goes back to, you know, under the previous coach, where he was, you know, his body language was horrific in his last season. Then Clarko came on board, and then we've had all the issues last year, and then he came back at the end of last year and was fantastic again. So, and in Noble's first year, he was outstanding. Before the second year, he was a disaster. So we've had he's teased what he's capable of. He clearly could be an All-Australian talent-wise, no doubt. But I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of supporters are holding on, terrified of him doing it for another club. But you know, at the end of the day, we're certainly not Hawthorn in the in the 70s. But at the end of the day, they had to move on from Gary Ablett Senior because of those sort of issues, and they knew he would become a star elsewhere. But so we're probably again not. We don't have that level of talent Hawthorn had, but the decision's the same in terms of they've got to put the culture first, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's a pretty fair summary there too, Mark. I mean, Frank, if he wasn't as talented out on the football field, like Mark pretty much suggested, he probably wouldn't be at the club right now, would he, with all the indiscretions of even last year and probably even, you know, a few other things as well before that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, and I think every club sort of acknowledges that sometimes if you're in the best 10 or best 5, you get a little bit more leniency. So, yeah, there's no doubt. Had he just been, pick someone that sits around 35 to 40, he would have been gone. But there was an interesting thing there that Mark said, the club trying to get him to do the right thing. I don't even think it was that. It was just don't do the wrong thing. Nobody was asking him to go and, spend time at the Royal Children's Hospital or anything like that. It was just basically stay out of trouble. He couldn't even manage that, which is, again, from what we know, which is very little, it just seems like anyone else would have gone, "Phew, that was a close call last year. I've really got to fly straight." And somehow he's found himself back in that same position, which, yeah, really frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, look, we know he's done something. We just don't know what it is at the moment, which is, you know, still a bit of cloud over it. But, look, obviously he still has done something. Otherwise, this individual wouldn't have gone to the AFL Integrity Unit and reported it. So it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, it might have been something as simple as a text message. But still, I mean, if you got a half a brain, then you wouldn't interact with that sort of stuff. But, look.
Steve, everyone knows you don't put things in right. I mean, you're putting it in writing. I mean, it's just insane. If that's the case, I mean, I don't know, but if that's the case, he's sending more text messages that are half threatening, whatever you want to call it. Like, why? Why on earth would you do it? Anyway.
No, it is what it is, and we won't go on with it. Hopefully, it's just all bullshit. So, and he comes back to the club, but that looks almost a long shot at this stage. So, with all the reports from the media. Now, I'm interested to get your thoughts here too, Mark, on Cameron Zerha. Now, he's interviewed the other day and said the right things about his love for the club and, but was very coy about his long-term future. It sounds like this one might play out throughout the year, Mark, and we might have another Ben McKay situation with him this year.
I don't think so, but this has really annoyed me, mainly because of John Ralph Smith's article in the Herald Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Code, because I just don't understand how anyone with a brain can tie this into Jason Horne-Francis. There was no one made fun of Ben McKay when he left the club. The reason the players made fun of Jason Horne-Francis is they didn't believe he was ever made any attempt to be part of the culture of the club, and they weren't happy with the way he behaved, and they were, in the end, they were glad to see him go. So Zerha represented that thinking and poked fun at him, right? It wasn't particularly malicious. It was tongue-in-cheek, whatever. How on earth anyone can suddenly say he has to sign as quickly as possible now because he criticised Jason Horne-Francis for leaving, is kidding themselves. He wasn't criticising for leaving. He was criticising from the way he behaved while he was there. and the fact that the playing group were glad he was gone. It's completely separate to this, not even similar. If his mate Nick Larkey left 2 years ago for a 10-year deal worth $1.5 million a year, he wouldn't have said a word. So that part of it is completely irrelevant. In terms of the way he's managing the way he's articulating where he's thinking, right? He just said, I want to play footy this year. His manager and him would be saying, you need to have a great year. If you haven't done enough to get massive dollars out of North Melbourne over a long-term contract up till this point. So if you want that, you want to have a blistering first half to next year, and not only that, become a leader around the club with a young group. And I think that seems to be the attitude that he's taken into the preseason and the way he's behaving. So regardless of how he might have articulated in that press conference, his behaviour to me is fantastic. If at the end of the day, you know, there's three things that has to happen. One, his form has to be good if he wants to get the money he wants and the length of contract he wants. Two, he probably does want to see North Melbourne improve, and we all do, and that's a fair enough expectation. He wants to believe that between the age of 25 and 27, 28, he's going to be playing finals. That's fair. Otherwise, he could potentially go his whole career and never play one. And then thirdly, North and he have to be able to come to an agreement on what's a reasonable contract. If those three things happen, there'll be no issue. But I don't see why John Ralston thinks he's got to gaslight the supporters by promising that he's going to re-sign. Now, he doesn't need to do that. The supporters, we understand exactly where those things sit. I think the Ben McKay thing was completely different as well, because I don't think he had any intention of ever staying from this time last year through to the end of the season, where I think Durha is every chance of staying. He nearly left a few years ago and stayed on because he believed in, you know, what a new coach could bring, and particularly Clarko. And I think if it's going well this year, I think he'll re-sign again. But I think the club and he need to, you know, both agree that they're on the same page. He can't come 18th in the best and fairest, kick 25 goals again, get injured. Well, the injury's not relevant, but he needs to be consistent. I think everyone would love to see him have a 40 to 50 goal year and demand a contract of 4 years, you know, 800 grand plus. Good on him if we can do that. We can afford it more than any other club at the comp. So if he's worth the money, we can pay it. So I don't think we need to worry about him leaving. I think if everything's going the way it should be. We can't be living in fear, you know, from start of the season till end with this sort of stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, interesting there, Frank, that Mark sort of mentioned if things go well, that he'll stay. Do you buy that, like, let's say we struggle again this year, we win four games, finish last or second last. He's obviously talked about finals and wanting to play finals, sick of losing, that might be swaying his decision and his future, that let's say, I don't know, our buddies up the road, Essendon, sort of offering similar money, but are on the verge of, maybe playing finals sooner than us, that, he may consider his options elsewhere.
Look, I tend to agree with Mark a little bit there, Dean. We can't live in fear that he may leave. That's where things come undone, where, you know, do you play him for the first half of the year with, you know, while he's averaging 8 disposals a game because you don't want to upset him? I think it's on him to show the club that, hey, I really want the club to move forward, and I'm part of the cog that can make that happen. And I think if that works and we were to win, you know, 4 or 5 games in the first half of the year, I wouldn't be too concerned about him leaving. I think he, like many players, probably just doesn't want to have another 2-3 game winning season. And you know, I don't blame him for that.
I mean, Dean, imagine if he came out and said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely re-signing. They just need to put something in front of me. I mean, that would he would have locked himself into 300 grand a year for the next 4 years. He's got to negotiate the best deal he can. He can't give the game away in the pre-season. He's got to back himself to do well and force the club to put a great deal in front of him. I think that's fine the way he's handled it.
Oh, no, definitely. This is probably his last payday, like the last contract he'll get. Yeah, where you get a big deal, a lot of money. So he's got to have a good year, and he's setting the right standards of training from all reports that he's been very vocal and trying to be a leader, and obviously trimmed up a lot. He's looking fantastic. So you know, all he can do is go by his actions, and his actions have been quite good. And at the end of the day, it's a business for players is as much for the club. Yeah. So he's got to look after the best interests of himself as well. Yeah. So, we'll see how we go. You mentioned not to live in fear, but I struggle to sleep at night sometimes, Mark, knowing that Harry Shields is only signed till 2025. So, but no, that was a little joke. Anyways, we'll go to your best 23 so far, boys. That's what we're here for, and I'm interested to get your thoughts here. So we'll start with you, Mark. Go with your back six.
Oh, no, I was hoping to start with Frank because I left my piece of paper at work. Anyway, I'm pretty sure I can remember it. So I'll go with the key backman first. I'll do it that way if that's okay, rather than the old-fashioned way.
No, that's fine.
So, Core, I'm assuming he's fit. I'll have him in the side along with Comben and Dawson. And the feedback on Dawson from the other players makes it almost impossible to ignore him at this stage. Given that, along with Tucker, they're suggesting he's been in the top three or four of the preseason. So that's a really good sign. But I also think Comben's recent form looks really promising as well, and you know, cause the experience they have to have. So I'm comfortable with those three at this stage, knowing that, you know, there's three more in the background there if we have to call on them. Luke McDonald obviously picks himself as one of the captains. McKerch is locked in the other spot, and I think Fisher will make up the last one in that back six. Centre line, I've got Scott, LDU and Stevens. I know there'll be a lot of difference with you guys on that. Then it gets harder now. In terms of the key forwards, Larky obviously picks himself. And then I'm only thinking there'll be one more tall in the forward line, as in what you call a traditional tall player. And that'll either be Callum Coleman-Jones or Greenwood, because they're going to have to make a decision on which one of those two is going to pinch hit in the ruck. At this stage, and Greenwood having a bit of an injury recently has probably influenced me here, but I think Callum Coleman-Jones will probably get a starting position if his body's right and his form going through the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of practice matches is okay. And he's functioning as part of that forward line. They definitely can't have him in there if he's not going to be a strong contributor, because they know what Greenwood brings, which Greenwood will bring really strong contests and amazing tackling in and around the ball. So that's a hard decision for me, the one between those two. Then I think Curtis will definitely play. Zerha will definitely play. So that's four. And then I've got... it's a bit more difficult, but I've got Simpkin playing as a high half forward, so almost as an extra midfielder, and Stevenson.
Yeah. And, no, that's pretty much the same forward line as I've got. I'll stop you there, Mark, because I'll go through Frank and I'll go through his back six. You've gone all the way over to the midfield forward line, name the reserves team. So,
Done it again. Sorry, I've in front of me. I'm trying to remember what I've written down. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Your forward six is the same as Jesse's, I've noticed. So, very good. I'll go through to you, Frank, your back six.
So mine was effectively the same, other than I had Dawson out and Goda in. So I had across the back line, Lukey Mack, Aiden Corr, Goda, McKercher at halfback, Comben and Fisher.
Just what your boys' thoughts on Luke McDonald. Now, I had Siobhan and Jesse on a couple of weeks ago, and even myself, I don't have him. I've got him on the bench at the moment. Now, there's still a lot of conjecture about his hamstring, whether that's going to be fully right. But are you confident with him, Mark, that Luke McDonald will hold up this year and have a better year?
Oh, sorry. I was just getting myself another glass of rosé. I'm back now. Luke McDonald, will he hold up this year? Is that the question?
Yeah, more just do you think his form will be even good enough to hold up in the back six this year?
Well, not if it's a repeat of last season. So he will have to. I don't think they'll just pick him no matter what his form is this year. I think And with two captains, you actually can afford to drop one that's playing really poorly. So, it's hard to know with being inside the four walls of what he was being asked to do last year that might have also contributed to his poor form. Trying to cover holes and do too many things, and potentially that can happen as a leader as well. But so you'd hope he'll get back to his best. But he's got a bit of injury to get through before that happens. But, yeah, I think the pressure will be on him, though, to hold his place in the side. I don't think it'll be guaranteed. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. What about you, Frank? Are you confident with Luke McDonald this year that he'll turn it around and find his best form this year?
No, in a nutshell. he's probably the one that, look, I think he goes in there because of, you know, his leadership and his experience. We can't go with a bunch of 21-year-olds, but 21-year-olds, I meant to say. But he's probably my most nervous pick in that back six. I think not only his injury, his form hasn't been great. His disposal under pressure has always been questionable, but no problem with his endeavour and the love for the jumper and winning the ball and that. But, yeah, I think he's probably he's form would want to improve.
He can't hatch the ball again either, can he, Frank?
No, he's just, maybe it's because of the way and the extent of the ball living down there the last few years that may not have helped him. But he's probably one of the more nervy sort of backmen I felt this year. At least when he got the ball, I kind of, you know, it was a white knuckle ride until he got it off to someone else. So that probably puts him.
You're just waiting for the whistle to blow for holding the ball.
He's
again. But he needs to back himself both with his kicking, because if you watch him in the warm-ups, he's a beautiful kick.
Yeah. And as I said, that I wonder whether that's just the continual pressure of the ball just coming down and living down there and maybe the grind just got to him towards the end of the year. And maybe with a bit more of a settled, free-flowing back line, he can find that again, because he's got a great left foot when he's trying to kick over the distance. I always feel he comes unstuck with those 30-meter kicks.
Yeah. Takes some panic decisions at times.
Yeah. He really seems to just hit the panic button for no particular reason. So anyway, look, as I said, he's probably the one that I have the least confidence in that back six.
Experienced back six in the AFL.
I mean, you guys have picked the similar Comben, Core and Dawson. And that seems to be the general consensus that it's going to be those three as the key defenders. No Harry Sheasel in the back line there, Mark?
No, I mean, there's a few there. Like Bailey Scott's likely to run through the back half. Goat is definitely going to go through there. So there's a few wingman halfback types around there, and then you've got Harry. And I think it'll depend. I'm not hearing a lot about Harry playing forward this year. They haven't talked a lot about that. It seems to be halfback or mid at this point. So, and it seems to me he's still more comfortable in the back half. So he might end up back there a lot more than we think. But I think they'll certainly give him a lot more time in the midfield this year. And potentially with Thomas gone, that opens that right up again. So, it still seems a bit of a wait and see on Harry. But I thought they might play him a bit more forward, but it doesn't seem to be the plan.
No, he hasn't pushed forward at all in pre-season, in matching games or anything like that. So, hasn't been training with a forward group at all either. So, Frank, where do you have Harry Sheasel then this year? If you don't have him, well, maybe you do have him rotate through the back six. I'm not sure, but interested to get your thoughts on him.
No, I've actually pushed him to half forward simply because that was probably his junior, where he played a lot of his junior footy. I don't know that the club's at that level with his development, but I think that from what I've heard and what I've seen, he'll either, I think, run through the midfield a lot more or possibly rest it at half forward. But a lot of those sort of wingers, half forwards are kind of interchangeable. It was more about getting him in somewhere where I think he can contribute. So I've got him at half forward.
Oh, fair enough. Now, Mark, you said Bailey Scott, LDU and Dylan Stevens across the centre line. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I must admit, I'm going on Dylan Stevens from reports. Right, I've never seen him do anything. I can't even remember him playing for Sydney, to be honest with you. So I've got no understanding of him other than the guy's obviously an insanely good runner. He's got speed and he can gut run. So that side of it excites me more than anything this year. Not just specifically about him, but the ability for this side, the running capacity in this side is going to be much better than it's been for a very long time. And he's another example of that and why they brought him in. But
Mark, he actually played on the wing out at La Trobe that game I went to watch them, and he was very, very busy on the opposite wing to Bailey Scott. So, doesn't mean anything, but, look, he's almost the twin brother of Tommy Powell, but quicker. They've both got the blonde sort of crew cut and same sort of build. But just very, very active. He's not lightning fast, but he's not slow. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to give a bloke a head start and get run down.
No, he's a power runner. He just can run all day. Yeah. Be up and back. So, I mean, just getting back to this whole fitness thing, which I think it's a bit understated at the moment how important this is going to be, the change in the fitness regime over the preseason versus the previous 3 years, where last year it wasn't a priority because they had to teach them a new game plan. Noble sort of did nothing with the running side for 2 years. He just had all these metrics that he kept saying was improving, but actually showed nothing. So we were just terribly unfit versus the rest of the comp. And last year, Hawthorn did the opposite of us and went really hard in running, and it paid big dividends for them across the year at various times. And we, our red time in the end of quarters was a disaster last year. So I just think the fact they've brought in some strong runners like Fisher and Stevens and other guys like Sheasel are going to be brought more up into the midfield, and he's coming in the top few in all their running trials. I just think we're going to have a greater capacity to put pressure on much later into quarters this year. And everyone knows, no matter how skillful you are, if you can't apply pressure on the opposition, you struggle. And teams were walking the ball out of our back line because we couldn't do it, and we weren't applying enough pressure around the ground. So I think that's going to be a big difference this year. And I think that's going to be enjoyable for our supporters to watch us stay in games a lot longer, win or lose. And I just think that's probably going to be one of the big changes going in, apart from the fact we've got Clarko healthy and a new coaching group as well, and some natural improvement from the young kids. I just think our fitness side of it's going to make things a lot more fun for us as supporters this year.
We certainly hope so. And we have, you pretty much nailed it, that we have recruited players that can play a certain style of play, which means we probably will be looking at a run and gun sort of style of football a little bit this year,
it'll help guys like Jaden Stevenson as well.
Certainly hope so.
Him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Frank, who you got across the wings and in the centre square? Anything different?
No, the only difference is I put Wardlaw in the centre, again, interchangeable with LDU or whatever. But, Bailey Scott and Dylan Stevens on both wings with whoever you want in the middle, but I went with Wardlaw.
Fair enough. I mean, you said you were at La Trobe a couple of weeks ago. Just with Wardlaw, he had a lot of the ball, but I'm a little concerned with his kicking. It seems a bit rough around the edges. He kicks a lot of floaters. Sort of miskicks it. I mean, obviously, it was quite windy that day, but we did see that last year. Are you worried about that at all this year as well?
Not really. I thought some of his kicking was okay last year in a few of the games. Not really. I think his upside is going to be similar to, he'll play that role of like a Ben Cunnington. I think his job's going to be to sort of, as he gets stronger, to extract the ball, get it out to others who might be better kicks or better runners. I think he can afford to have one guy in the team that just pins the ears back and gets the ball moving forward with, a knock on his kicking. But, I'm not too concerned. I think his big asset's going to be his contested footy.
He's very explosive. He's moving at high speed too. So, occasionally when you're kicking the ball in that situation, exploding from a contest, you can't expect perfection, I think. He'll probably learn to sort of calm down a little bit as he gets older, but in his first 50 games, you're going to get that.
So I know, just on that, I can't remember if I told you boys or not, but one of the knockbacks I've heard coming out of the preseason about him, and it's not really a knockback, is that a lot of the setup and structures at throw-ins and stoppages, you know, you have one go in, one protects defensively, one runs forward. Well, Georgie's a C-ball, get-ball kid from his junior football, and when it's his turn to defend, he sees the ball and he goes for it. And so they're trying to instill into him the running patterns of, mate, I know you want to just get the ball and win it at all cost, but sometimes you've actually got to let someone else go for it. So they're still trying to knock away that under-18s kind of instinct where he just basically dominated the midfield.
You want to see knockbacks, you should have seen me at nightclubs in the 80s.
We've gone a bit off track here, Mark.
I just hadn't heard the term knockbacks for a while. Just brought back memory straight away. But you don't want to see LDU and Wardlaw going head to head trying to win the same ball. And you can imagine they've got a few like that, Simkin and some strong and Phillips. They're all very strong in and under players potentially. So what you're saying makes absolute sense, Frank. They can't have them all going for it all the time. They get a few of them got to peel back and make sure.
Yeah.
Around. So that's a really good point you make.
Yeah. Look, I mean, of all the problems to have, Mark, on ball brigade that just want to win the ball at all costs is not one of the worst problems you could have. But for your structures and your setup, I can see how if you all go for it and it spits out the back, you're completely exposed. So I've heard that it's what Clarkson is trying to get him to sort of understand, mate, you don't need to win the ball every stoppage.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just about getting that balance, I guess. And, that'll come with experience. So, yeah. Mark, you had the forward six of Larky, Stevenson, CCJ, Curtis, Zerha, Simpkin. Pretty similar to most people. Are you confident CCJ can hold up and be that big key forward?
No, not at all.
I was going to chime in there, Mark, and say don't lie because I was about to say the exact same thing.
I'm really hoping it'd be great for the club and for him. It was either the Essendon game or the Sydney game last year. It was the week after he kicked 9 goals in the VFL. I mentioned it before. He looked like he could be a star of the AFL because he was clunking the ball and it just looked like impossible to keep it away from him. He didn't kick that straight that night, but he just looked so dangerous. I'm hoping that's the sort of form. He's coming to the age now as a tall where you start to mature and do that. He's certainly very handy at the second ruck. So that would be the ideal for us, for him to be the one pinch hitting rather than Greenwood. I think, you know, for the benefit of the club long term, you want to see Callum Coleman-Jones be the one that kicks on. Rather than have to rely on Greenwood, as much as he's a great warrior and you know, great player to have around the club, and he will play a lot of senior footy this year. But yeah, I'm hoping it works out. I'm not confident because just we haven't seen any consistency over his career yet. But we'll have to see what happens. I think there's the tools that they've got in the VFL that could come through, and obviously Charlie is going to be playing down back at least for the first half of the year. There's not a lot of other options, but I'm not too bothered. I mean, if Ford can come into that side along with Dersmer and Zerha and give them a lot of marking power around Larky that aren't necessarily 195 centimetres plus, I don't think that's a bad thing, as long as we're just not bombing it all the time, as long as they're lowering their eyes. I think that could make us dangerous. So I don't think it's the end of the world if it doesn't work out with him.
No, definitely not. Well, we certainly hope not. But look, you might get a game through default because we probably don't have any other second, big tall forwards or, a possible second option as a tall forward for Nick Larky to help out. Frank, have you got a similar forward six to Mark there, or you got something a little bit different?
No, pretty very, very similar. The only difference I've got is that I put Sheasel to half forward, as I mentioned before, with Simpkin in the on-ball. But effectively, you could swap them, and it'd be identical. So I've got Sheasel, Coleman-Jones, Jaden Stevenson, and then Paul Curtis, Larky, and Zerha.
Mark, there's no small forwards, is there? Like, no real genuine small forwards. Like, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but no, not a, you know, like a similar player to a Tom Papley or a Charlie Cameron. I mean, we've pretty much only got a couple, two on the list I can think of, Robin Hanson and Blake Drury. But you can't pick players just for, you know, the sake of the team fit, really, can you?
No, I'll admit, I crossed out a couple of players on the interchange and put Robin Hanson Jr. in there just because I wanted him there. And then I changed my mind because I said, well, I can't justify that. How am I going to explain why I've done it? Because he hasn't got the form yet to justify it. Although I think in the first match, Sim, he did some really exciting things. He might explode in one of the practice matches and get himself into the side. But I definitely think he'll play senior footy this year. And I think Drury will at some point. But early on, I don't think so. I don't think either of them will play in the first round unless something changes in the practice games.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same path with you there. I don't think they'll get a game early. Frank, Zane Dersma, what do you think he's a chance to play round one, and do you have him in your team at the moment?
Don't have him in the team. Clever, sharp in the game that I went and saw. Look, still very lightly framed. So is Colby McKercher, but I think McKercher is a bit more of a very classy user of the ball. So Dersma, look, he'll play senior footy this year. I've got no doubt about that. Whether it's round one, round four, round 20, I think he'll get a look in. I just don't know at the moment whether he's going to push any of those four out, as in Stevenson, Zerha, Curtis and Sheasel, or whoever the other half forward is. I think they'll take their time with him, but I think he'll play senior footy.
Did I have him in, Frank? I mean,
no, you didn't have him in yet.
No.
Unless you got him in the interchange bench.
During the day, I've dropped him tonight. Okay.
Yeah. Mark, do you remember who you had as Ruckman, Ruck Rover and Rover?
I'm going to have to put him on the bench now. I don't know how I'm going to work that out. Okay. Cherry as Ruckman, I can't see any. As long as he's fit, I can't see that changing. If he's not fit, it'll be Callum Coleman-Jones, and which will then probably bring Greenwood into the side. And then I've got Wardlaw as Ruck Rover, and I had Sheasel in the midfield, starting midfield.
No, fair enough. I had him in my first team, Harry Sheasel, as a midfielder, but I've pushed him back to halfback flank. There's no rush with him. I think we've got 100 midfielders as it is. So, I thought maybe just on team balance, I've pushed him out. But what about you, Frank? Anything different there?
No, same, but different. Cherry, LDU and Simpkin.
Simpkin's, I guess, the interesting one, Frank, because... I think Mark mentioned a high half forward. I've sort of put him in as a high half forward. A few other people have mentioned it as well. Do you think
he's mentioned well too? Don't forget that.
Yeah, that's right. He did too a few months ago. So, do you think that's a possibility that they might push him outside the centre square to start the season to see how that goes?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think there's probably. Going back to an old term that we're probably all familiar with, I think there's about four or five guys that could really play that utility role, that could roll through the middle. If they have to do a job at half back, they could probably do it. You could throw them on a wing, high half forward. There's a number there that I think will be asked to play that role at different times of the year. And I think Simpkin could certainly do it. I think he likes to sort of start in the cold face, you know, when the heat's on. I don't have an issue with where they end up playing, whether it's a high half forward or in the middle.
A high half forward is essentially another midfielder. Yeah. The difference with a high half forward is it's probably the hardest running role in the side. Literally running up, and he's got to get to – basically he's got to be an extra player at stoppages. But also run up and back like constantly. So, as the number one runner at the club, it does sort of fit for him to play that role. So I can understand why they'd be thinking that.
The only thing that I'd have a concern with Mark is if the opposition try to exploit him. I don't know how good he is if he's got to defend from a high half forward. I think he's, again, another a little bit of a see ball, get ball kind of guy. Well, and I think right.
You're spot on. You're giving up. So you're hoping he'll do enough damage around the stoppages.
Correct.
To offset some guy running free off the back line. That, you're right. Dead right.
And then you put, like an Adam Saad or something like that at half back and tell you the opposition to go through him because Simpkin, you know, he's a ball chaser.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether he could get exposed on that side of things, or a Took Miller, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But look, he could certainly play the role. I think if we're controlling the stoppages, it's a kind of role that he would fit into really well. I think if we're not winning the stoppages, then he probably goes into the middle.
You've got to win the stoppage and then get the ball to a McKercher or Stevens on the outside to make sure Assad just doesn't get an easy bomb ball in sitting on his own at half back and then just run it straight back at us.
Correct. Yeah.
That's the difference. They just can't bomb it in anymore. They're going to have to be really careful. And that's what they're training, from what I can understand. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So, yeah, no, it's almost a little bit of trying to fit a few square pegs in round holes because, balance of the list a little bit. Mark, who you got? Do you remember who you have on the interchange bench and maybe
Putting in first now is Dersma because I did have him at half forward and I kicked him out and then because I realised I'd left the captain out. So I'll have Dersma and I think he will start in the 22 and then it's 22 with a sub, is that correct?
Yeah, it's still the same as last year.
Yeah, so I think it'll be Dersma, which will give them something different on the forward line. Some flexibility there, and then I think we're going to see some mids. I think Phillips will be there. I think Powell will be there, and then I think they'll give themselves another wing halfback with Gota.
No, fair enough. Yeah. What about yourself, Frank? Anything different there?
I went with, and I'm a little concerned with it, only because I think I've picked four very similar players, but I ended up going with Tucker, Lazaro, Powell, and Phillips.
Oh, Jesus, I left Tucker out. That's harsh.
Yeah, and again, Mark, that's pure – look, I mean, that was driven a lot by what I saw at La Trobe and the feedback from – the playing group that he seems to have come back. I know he had an interrupted season, pre-season last year. And from all the reports, he's been really lighting it up in the pre-season. So I squeezed him into the interchange. Again, same as Lazaro. The feedback's been that he's really developed his running. Powell and Phillips, well, we know, we just hope that they continue to develop. But, yeah, my one concern is that they are all very sort of similar players.
I must be betting on Tucker doing a hammy or something in the next couple of weeks. By the way.
Well, you know who else was flying in pre-season in 2021, Mark? And that was Jared Polak. So can't always get too excited about certain individual players. Mm. But Darcy Tucker is an interesting one. Mm. I wouldn't mind getting your thoughts on this, Mark, because he is like a halfback winger. He can played a little bit half forward too into pre-season. I mean, he's a utility type of player, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see Phillips and Powell on the side because there's a big investment there and they could play a huge part in our future. But the reality is Tucker's form, if it continues through the next few weeks, I'll be wrong and he will play. And then they'll your point's exactly right. He can play about four different positions. They can play him. He's played. He was dangerous half forward. Played on the wing. He's played half back. He can go into the midfield. He can tag. He's a great runner. There's a lot of different things they can do with him. I think they'll see him as a good option going into the early part of the season. So it'd be interesting to see who misses out because out of Phillips, you know, Powell, Gota, and you got players like Lazaro. We haven't talked about the old man of the yet. The oldest guy from the Hawthorne, sorry, I forgot his name.
Shields.
I don't think he will start. I think he'll come in as injuries come through, you know, whereas last year he was a lock for the first round. So, I think Tucker's probably likely to play first round as much as I've left him out. I think I want to see those young guys get a go, but the Tucker's done nothing wrong. A lot will play out of the next few weeks in terms of the practice matches. But if he continues doing what he's been doing, it's going to be very hard to leave him out, to be fair.
Yeah, you got him as a sub then, Mark?
Yes, he's a sub.
Yeah, we'll put him in. He sounds good. What about yourself, Frankie? Who you got as a sub?
Well, I've got a new position, Dean, called Unlucky, and I've picked Ford, Liam Shields and Callum Dawson to play Unlucky. So I went with Greenwood as the sub simply because of the versatility. I think, you know, he at a pinch, that's he can fair. Go into the ruck. He can go midfield. He can probably play as a tall defender to fill a gap. So he got the nod ahead of the other three, which I think you could make an argument for pretty strongly either way.
See, that's a very clever decision because that's a great point. I mean, he can place that many positions that he's almost the perfect sub, isn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's really excelled at probably four different positions at a time of crisis. So I think he's the kind of guy that, heaven help us, if we lost core, he could try and go down there and fill that breach or move to centre half forward. Give Sherry a pinch hit in the ruck, so it was more his versatility what I liked about him being the sub. But, as I said, the others, there's strong arguments for the others as well, but I think he's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of the list at the moment. So well, he gets Ford the sub.
Your Eddie Ford thing about him being unlucky is a very good point. I mean, he deserves to be in the side, but it's going to be a late run for him now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got. I'm still struggling with the syndesmosis. Yeah. I'm not struggling, but he's still not at the level you want him to be at just yet. So he might be really pushing for around one berth. Because I think he is in the best 22.
Who's our lockdown defender on a small forward at the moment?
Well, it's probably Luke McDonald, isn't it? If you boys have got him.
Yeah, it's probably Luke McDonald.
That hasn't really been his go.
You can develop a Josh Goeder could probably play that role.
Well, it'll be Archer eventually, I think, but anyway, that's he's got injury problems.
Yeah, he's got a groin problem at the moment again, so certainly sort of got a few issues there. Mark, you picked a very inexperienced team. Now, you don't have Hugh Greenwood and Liam Shields in the team. Is that a bit of a concern that it's a bit too inexperienced?
No, I don't think so. I think Zerha, Larky, Fisher, Kaur, LDU, Simpkin. I think even Stevenson now, unfortunately, he's in mid-20s now. I think that's the next wave, and they've both got the talent and also they've got the games under their belt now where they're going to have to be the players that take us forward. I think you're going to see people like Charlie Compton, although they've hardly played a game. Show leadership side, and I think Scott is in the leadership group now. So I think that's the next wave. I think we're past the point now of selecting players because they've played 200 plus games and they're all. I think it's going to be purely on form for those guys. I think you've got players like Sheasel, who's the best and fairest winner now. He's in the leadership group, and I think he'll bring along a lot of the young guys around. Wardlaw's a born leader. Like just the way he, and I don't mean what he says, but what he does tells you he's a leader. The way he performed in I think it was 8 games last year, but the way he pressurizes and just does everything he can for the sake of the side, I think that's the sort of leadership that'll be coming through from now. And I think it will be by the young guys. So I'm not worried about that. I actually think the loss of the older guys leaving the club last year is actually what's reinvigorated everyone there. I think needed a full changing of the guard and these guys now own, the club are going to take them forward, Larky and the guys around him and Simkin and everyone else. And Zerha seems to have stepped up as a leader with those guys leaving as well. So I'm not worried at all by that. I think it's actually a good thing.
That's fair enough. I mean, you can't just pick experienced players just for the sake of picking them if they're not good enough at this level anymore. So, we've probably seen that in the first 6 or 7 games. Unfortunately, last year with Ben Cunnington, probably the game looked like gone past him, and that's not his fault. That was just through his health, unfortunately. He wasn't the same player. So,
Greenwood and Seals and these guys are fantastic to have around the club, and they play senior games, and they'll be very useful when they play. But you don't really want them playing unless you have to have them playing, if that makes sense. You'd rather Powell, Phillips, these guys come in. And all these guys are quality young men that are leaders in a way in their own right and have done that at junior footy. You want them to start making their mark now. And they're, you know, 3 or 4 years in, these guys. I'd rather the other guys come in and help the young kid. We've got a lot of kids at VFL that we got, you know, five or six, seven young kids come in through the off season. I'd rather see those Fields and those guys help them at VFL level and develop them quickly and then use their leadership that way rather than the seniors at this point.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Frank, just to finish off with one, Tom Powell. Now, he's an interesting one. You had him on the interchange bench. I think he might have too, Mark, from memory. Yeah. Where do you see his football at? It's a pretty important year for him, isn't it? 2024. He's looked good in the pre-season. There's obviously a lot of potential there. What do you think he needs to work on to be a consistent AFL player?
Yeah, good question, Dean. I'm not 100% sure. Look, I've got him in there based on hope, really. I mean, he's shown potential before. His form's kind of in and out. I just hope he finds whatever it is that it's missing, whether it was fitness, maybe it was confidence, maybe it was being thrown around in the different positions didn't suit him.
That's the one, Frank.
Yeah, I really don't know, but I just think the kid's got a massive upside, and whatever it is, that piece that needs to fall into place, I don't think it's going to happen with him playing in the VFL. I think it might happen in the seniors, you know, if he gets his chance. So, maybe it's just settling into a spot is what he needs, but I just think he's got a huge upside, and I'd really love to see him, you know, discover that, you know, 25 disposal game.
He's a midfielder.
Maybe it is in the midfield, and maybe, you know, Sheezel doesn't get that midfield minutes that we think he might or that I think he might. Whatever it is, I'd love to see him really find that missing sort of link that he's shown in pieces but hasn't been consistent.
The loss of Thomas will be the gain of Powell. I think that's what will end up happening. I think he looked like a genius in his first year, and I think they threw him around everywhere in year two.
Yep.
And I think he'll go back into the midfield this year, and he'll be a superstar. I think he's in for a massive year.
I was just about to say, Dan, that's exactly what I hope happens. Is that he finds his calling, and he just really just develops into a terrific player in traffic, because we know he sees the game evolve quicker than most. He just doesn't get it enough, so let's hope he does.
He's a player that's certainly shown flashes. And, you know, sometimes when I've done this podcast, if you could see me, sometimes the desk in front of me lifts by itself without any hands, because, you know, he shows a lot of potential in certain places. But just getting that consistency through three, four quarters has always been an issue with him. And, yeah, like you said, he's probably, you know, going to get a game of potential and, you know, upside. But, pre-season, he's looked fantastic, has been outstanding. And I guess this leads to my next question. Mark, we've got an intra-club match tomorrow at 10 a.m. You might see highlights, but is there anything you want to see out of that game, as in particular at certain players and where they're playing or anything like that?
I think the midfield will... we've got so many quality midfielders, we're going to see plenty of good footy out of there. I think what we're hoping to see is that some key backs look solid. If we keep seeing that, we're going to grow in confidence as a supporter base. I'd love to see the forward line functioning well and some set plays coming to the forward line. But, yeah, if Dawson keeps up his form and Charlie Coleman looks comfortable down back, then I'll feel comfortable going into round one.
No, fair enough. Yeah, Frank, did you want to look for anything in particular tomorrow in intra-club match about the certain way we're playing or any individual players?
No, Dean, I just want to see a really bored and disengaged medical staff.
That's getting a bit busy at the moment, isn't it?
It's getting a lot busier than what I would have hoped for this time of the year. Yeah. So I hope that everyone's just sitting there really bored because there's no injuries to assess. And that's what I hope to get out of it.
They do so much contested footy now. It's hard to keep everyone injury-free, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Bruises, little knocks. Yeah, look, we get all that. Mm. It's just those ones that over the years, Mark, have, we've got the old, hamstring awareness and it ends up being 8 weeks, kind of thing. They're the ones I really, really hope we get on top of. And, you know, if it's a broken bone, well, that's unavoidable. But some of those soft tissue injuries that just lingered and reappeared, just for a list that doesn't bat that deep, we really need to have some luck with the footy god. So I certainly hope that that's, the way it plays out up until round one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bailey Scott's missing through a hamstring strain tomorrow. I think Zach Fisher is missing through a hamstring strain.
It's a calf. I think Scott.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, there you go. Some people have even sort of suggested that it's the resurfacing of the Arden Street that we're starting to get more soft tissue injuries. I'm not too sure if that's a factor or anything like that, but it might be the heavy running as well.
They've done a very heavy load over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, so that, yeah, I mean, we don't know. Well, we don't know, I guess, at the end of the day. So still plenty of time till round one. And at the end of the day, you're going to get injuries. Your list is going to be tested. So, yeah, I mean, you want to have a good 30, 35 players on your list because they're all going to get their opportunity at the end of the day. And it's a lot of it.
Why you've got guys like Ali Lazaro there? Because that's going to happen and you need guys like that and come in and play a real role.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Like he's on the fringes at the moment. I've got him in my best 22, but he'll be there or thereabouts, and he'll definitely if an LDU goes down, touch wood he doesn't, or something like that, then he'll be first off the rank, and sort of see how we go. Well, that's all I have for you, Mark. Did you want to leave a shout out to Jonathan Walsh at the Bombers on X or anything like that, Mark? Or?
Leave us alone, Bomber supporters. Try and win a final before you come bloody knocking on our door.
Yeah, they're really giving the old Dutch rudder to Charles Springer at the moment.
I'll tell you now that we heard nothing from Essendon supporters for years. The moment Clarkson joined North over Essendon, it's just never stopped ever since. It's just they're very bitter about it, unfortunately. But anyway, we need to beat them, though, before we can be doing any gloating.
Well, we've got to win a game before we start bragging about anything, really. Frank, any final words?
No, boys, just hopefully, looking forward to it all ramping up and getting closer to getting out there for round one. So, just hope they continue to improve and, looking forward to it.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, Mark, thanks very much for coming on the show. I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Always a pleasure, mate. Thank you.
No worries. Frank, always a pleasure with you, mate. And look forward to chatting to you soon.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Mark.
So thank you to those boys once again for coming on the show. Interesting to get their thoughts on the best 23. Do you lovely listeners agree with what those boys said? Anyways, that's it for tonight. I'm just going to go through some interaction I had on my podcast. I had a couple questions. So I've got one from Vidstar. This was 16 days ago, so sorry, Vidstar, for the delay. I have been meaning to answer this question, but he says, "Hi, Dean, really enjoying the episodes. It's great to be able to tune in and listen to how the boys are going. What are your thoughts on playing Biggie as a mobile forward and centre-half forward? I thought that's what he was going to come to the club as, because I did talk to a couple of Richmond people and they sort of said he did look better as a forward than he did as a defender. So that's what I thought. But and he had a couple of good games in the VFL. He had a game, I think it was against GWS, where he kicked 2.07, took a few big marks. But as far as I know, he's only been playing in the back line as a floating defender, sort of like an intercept defender, very raw and skinny young fella. It'll be interesting to watch the intra-club match tomorrow and see how he goes there. He's probably a player I'm looking at, but look, he's in a frame for a round one berth, to be honest with you. Thanks very much for that, Vidstar. And there's a few other questions on a podcast as well. So through Spotify, you asked a few questions. So yeah, I really appreciate this. Really appreciate the support, especially you, Vitz, though. You seem to comment a lot. So, you know, I mean, there's one from 2 months ago where you said, where I interviewed, I think it was Jason Hutt, when I was doing a Getting to Know You episodes from the North Pod show. And he sort of said, I enjoyed listening to two diehard fans talking about the club we love. It was really interesting. So, yeah, no, I really appreciate the support there, Vitz, though. And you can certainly interact with me there. And yeah, I'll try and answer the questions. So, yeah, once again, thank you very much. And thank you very much for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. If you can tell your friends about the show, the podcast, that would be much appreciated. I know episode I did a couple weeks ago with Siobhan and Jesse was one of the highest rating ones I've done, most downloads I've had. So, yeah, and that's all through you guys and putting the word out and doing what you can to help out the show. So it's much appreciated. And yeah, I'll continue to, you know, try and interact with you supporters a little bit more. I did try and do a voicemail link a couple weeks ago, but they didn't come through. So I'm going to work on that because it's something I want to interact with on the show as well. Get people's voicemails at the end of the game. So yeah, no, look, work with me on that. I know Michael C sort of tried to leave one and a couple others did too as well, but they didn't come through for some reason. So yeah, I do appreciate you taking the time and effort to try and do that. Anyways, I'll be back Thursday. I've got something going on there, so yeah, look out for that show. But I hope you enjoy this one as well. Anyways, that's it for tonight. So tonight I will leave a shout out to Vitster. So spelled V-I-T-S-T-E-R. And yeah, appreciate the support, Vitster. Bye for now, and go Roos.